They got it. We got it. Now, with that all being said, I know that I've got some of you thinking doctrine, theology, and all that other stuff. It was a free gift. It was free. Freely given. Stop thinking about the method and let's just start being about loving our daddy. Amen? This is the first time we've talked about this. Amen? And praise God. We need to come out. The Lord gave me this message. You know, I look at my brother up here. And I say this. Last week was a wonderful blessing. Amen? It's a wonderful blessing. It was a wonderful blessing. Chris, mighty man of the Lord, used mightily. What I love about the body is we have all different types, all different parts. What I love about the body is that I don't necessarily always have to agree with the other part of the body or where we are in our understanding. We don't always have to necessarily agree, but please understand what I'm saying. We also don't have to cast lots. We don't have to vote. We don't do that in this beautiful family. Okay? We still got a board, which I think we're a little stiff, but with that being said, we have a leadership team. Do you realize you're all leaders? Oh, no, amen? You're all leaders. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to call you all on the battlefield. Okay? We're soldiers. Hallelujah. I'm not looking at anybody that's not a soldier in this place. Come on. It ain't about gender. Hallelujah. We got a lot of Joan of Arcs in here. Amen? But the beautiful thing is we're all learning. Praise be to God. While we may not necessarily always agree with, I mean, there were things I agreed with last week and things that I didn't totally agree. But doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean God moved. God moved. All I'm saying to you is we can never be comfortable, brothers and sisters. Don't think that when you see something or what you felt 25 years ago, I came out of that water in the AOG, in Assembly of God in Lockport. Actually, this young lady right here was. She may have seen that holy, miraculous event. Possibly. Sue, hallelujah, the Glassmans. They're blessing us this morning. But either way, you know, as awesome as that was, I would just rather be dipped in a river somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I would rather just not be worried about the stuff and the cushions. And I understand that as Americans, we've become very comfortable, right? We talk about this all the time. Well, brothers and sisters, I don't want you, we're spoiled. I don't want you to get comfortable in your faith. I don't want you getting comfortable in the methods by which we have come up with a plan to get closer to God. When he's saying, why are you trying to get closer? I'm as close as I can get to you. Stop doing and just start loving. Stop thinking and just start believing. I came in this morning feeling helpless. But it's the best place I could possibly be. Again, not stupid. Not ignorant. I'm not totally ignorant anymore. You couldn't classify me as a total moron. I'm close. And that's okay. But I'm getting smarter. And by the time this is over with, I'll be close to being a genius. Hallelujah. Until he takes me to heaven. I don't want him to tell me everything. I want to experience some of this. But brothers and sisters, there's no better place. But again, prayer. I love you, Daddy, and I don't love anything else. You know, I'm on a boat right now, and that boat is tossing to and fro. I'm not scared. I'm not scared. If I had my moments of anxiety, I have. I've had a few of those moments. But with that being said, there's a peace because I know who can stop the storm. Peace be still. Some of you are probably saying, well, Raul, why have you not stopped the storm? Oh, maybe it's because of a lack of faith. Maybe it's because, I don't know, I did something wrong. But with all that being said, I still have peace and believe that regardless of how long the winds are going to be blowing and the waves are going to be hitting the side of the boat and maybe even hit me in my face and at times going down my mouth. And guess what? Whoever's on the other side, whatever they think that they're accomplishing, they not only lost, but they're just, I won't even use the word. But where they would try to weaken you and I, they actually, hallelujah, to the glory of God, they strengthen us. You think we were hard before? Holy shnikes, again, give me a stiff uppercut. Let me see if you can knock me down. I don't care how big you are. Hit harder, because I'm going to, if at the very least, I'm going to get off that man. I'm going to, not you, but the ones that oppose us, I'm going to whoop their behinds. And that's the reality. See, and that's why I always say, sister, you've heard me say this a few times, when Armageddon occurs, I sure hope that God lets me at least get one punch in. I've envisioned being able to go up to, you know, at least use my forehead and just break someone's nose. Please, Daddy, don't get it. Don't finish it before I can. And I don't want any, I don't want no punk shots. I mean, I don't want to catch someone off guard. I want them looking at me right in the face. Or I'll be looking up like this. But praise be to God. Hallelujah. It's His might. It's His strength. Amen. And whatever you and I are going through, it's for His glory. And let's just get right down to brass tacks here. The reality is, brothers and sisters, see, this is the balance. You know that He loves you, right? You know that He loves you. And we have an expected end, right? But you and I were not here to party. You and I were not here, are not here necessarily to enjoy the ride. That's the miraculous. That is the supernatural about all of this, is that while my five senses are not being massaged, I am enjoying what I'm going through. Because I know that Daddy's in charge, and I am a supernatural being that is a foreigner to this place. I don't fall under the standards of my normal physical emotions and feelings. Because I become more determined in the fight as the struggle, as the heat is turned on even more. Hallelujah. Again, in the name of Yeshua, I'm okay. I'm not harmed by any of it. My mind, I don't have to play mental games or positive thinking. I don't have to, while there's elements of truth, get my chi in order. I mean, there are, okay, this is an amazing thing. That's right, get my cheese in order. But the point is hallelujah, He regenerates you. Amen. I count it all joy. Now to the world, it doesn't make any sense. And in all honesty, guess what? When I am counting it all joy, it doesn't totally make a whole lot of sense to me either. But I can't stop laughing. I can't stop smiling. I can't stop being at peace with who my God has created me to be. Regardless. That's why we hear about the stories of so many brave, and I mentioned this yesterday to our leadership team, and I've said this a few times. I actually, my wife and I have believed this the first day that we sat out in that parking lot over there before the building was even purchased. I told her, I said, honey, this family, this living organism, this church, us, we're not going to be able to lack courage. Because God wants to reveal new, and yet it's not new, but it's the newness of who he has always been. But it's new to us, it's foreign to us, because again, we continue, as I've said before, we continue to jump into the mud puddle. And we just, well, mud has some nice qualities, but we sit there and we bathe in this stuff. So amen. Amen. It has to be about him. You know, this next phase of my life, as much as I thought I had given it to him, as much as I thought I had submitted to him, sister, could you go to, let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 11, please. Or brother. He loves you so much. He's got our back. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, that covers the whole spectrum of weakness. There's all forms of weakness, right? Sometimes it's our lack of faith. Sometimes it's our lack of understanding. Sometimes it's just the fact that I'm beaten down physically and I'm weak. Sometimes that weakness is even when you're staring at your wife and you desire for her to do something and she does not have the strength to do it. Whether that's mind, whether that's physical, whether it's spiritual. Isn't that what ministry is? How often have you guys, again, we don't pull on the heartstrings of people, guys. It's all him. You speak when he tells you to speak. But you and I also need to learn to keep our mouths shut when he tells us to keep our mouths shut. You want to emulate Jesus? You do that through your actions, your deeds. You do that when you're in the midst of the storm, people are looking at you going, I have no idea how he's able to do that or how she's able to do that. The opportunity will come for you to be able to impart in their life. And I'm not saying that you're not supposed to boldly get on top of the roof, you know. The Jewish culture, that's what they were about, getting up boldly. But you know what? There are so many bulletin boards, Facebook, Twitter, email, computers, books, magazines, there is so much information out there, brothers and sisters. We do not need to push people. We don't need to shovel this stuff in front of them for them to see it. We just need to start living it, right? But in ministry, often you're going to come upon people and you're like, why will they not do this? Why will they not listen? And sometimes, maybe we go overboard. Not jump overboard, but we go overboard. We push. You know, I mean, even a kid in high school, while I carried my Bible, I never pushed people. I never, if the Lord said throw the bait out there, I'd throw it out there. But I never, you know, would try to manipulate and control people and preach to them. People would walk up to me and ask me to pray for them. And I believe that God honored them, not because of what I said, but the intent of my heart. That's always the key, right? The intent of our heart. Do you have any hidden agendas when you're ministering? Guess what? We all still do. We do. But the Lord is continually washing us and cleansing us. But when you come upon people, it's like, why are they not listening? Or, you know, why is this person not doing this? Why aren't they getting it? Guess what? He is still more than sufficient. Right? When you feel helpless because you don't feel like you're getting through to them, guess what? He is still more than able. Again, every single thing that you and I do, brothers and sisters, waking up in the morning, going to bed at night, doing ministry, cooking a meal, working at the factory, serving, not serving, driving down the road. It begins and ends with Him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly. Hallelujah. And some of you, again, while we're saying again, please be careful what you say amen to. Because absolutely, absolutely, yes, it is. But some of you are going, I still don't totally get it. Well, I don't totally get it. But again, all I know is He redoes this. He renews the mind and your perspective. Not only does your perspective of what you're thinking and what you value change, because it is then after the things that He values. See, Paul talks about how you and I so easily and willingly jump into the mold of the world. What does he say? Do not be conformed to the world. Yet so often, and we also do that religiously too. We do that religiously all the time. We jump into man practices because it smells good, sounds good, looks good. Well, I'm here to challenge you today. Would you say, are you courageous enough to get out of some of those molds and do things differently? Are you willing maybe not to come up to this thing as an altar? I mean, do it. And I know that we're going to be praying for people from time to time, and we have different parts of the body doing different cool things. But can I just ask you something? How many of you, now I know we have the equipment up here, and I don't want, Cliff, don't get nervous. But sometimes, I'm just saying, this is the perspective. I want to just kind of get you thinking. You come up here and the worship team's up here. Sometimes I think you're coming up to pay us homage. I know that's not what you're doing because I'm on the throne. I'm up here. You're down there. That's why Rich and I put this thing down here. It's the least we can do. I'm not above you. Are we not all on the throne if we're in Jesus? This young man is sitting up here because he's on the throne. How many altars did Jesus erect while he was walking the earth? You know where the altar was? I've said this before many, many, many times. Do you not realize that Jesus is sitting right here and he wants to meet you where you're at? I don't care where you are. You could be in the most defiled place. I understand light has no place in darkness and darkness has no place in light. But he'll meet you wherever you're at if you want him. No matter how grim it may seem, he will meet you and he will take care of you. But I'm not trying to, it's fine. There's a beautiful thing about coming up here, but who says it can't be back there? Well, this is where the pastor stands. You know, other churches, there's seats up there where the minister will sit and he'll stare at you. The closest thing to that is me and the drum kit. Hallelujah. Whether you knew it or not, that's why I'm back there. Amen. We need to come out. You know when Israel left Egypt? God says, I'm drawing you out of that place. You need to come out. Lay all those gods down. Lay all those gods down. You need to have different perspective. Come sit at the throne. Are you and I not at the right hand of the Father? Sitting with Jesus. So while we figure this out, and praise be to God, bring in men and women that will remind us, that will bring us revelation and perspective. And I love the fact that our pastor and our leadership team, I love the fact that we bring other people in, because again, this is not our show. It's not our program. I've always said, you've heard me say this so many times, I love when people come in here because hopefully we're blessing them. Hopefully they're walking in and there's something a little different here. Again, it's not us. It's him. But hopefully we can bless them in something with a holy kiss, a holy hug. I don't wash their feet. Bless them in our ignorance. I don't care. Just give them something, amen? That's what we're supposed to be about. But if anything, hopefully, as they will do to us, we will do to them. They will open our eyes, not to some gospel that isn't Yeshua, but hopefully they will give us a little bit of a picture of what God really desires for you and I. And very, let me say this, it doesn't have a lot to do with vanity or physical things. But with that being said, you know, and you know where we're coming from, I believe, where I'm coming from. I don't want you guys to go without. Okay? I will admit to you, I can't wait to blow my house up. I'm really looking forward to it. If I have to blow the house up to get the community's attention, I'm going to do it. But with that being said, I'm so thankful for that house. I'm so thankful for the size of the living room. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, as insignificant as it may seem to you and me sometimes, God knew I was going to have to put a hospital bed in that living room. He also knew that I had to have enough room so I could still look at my 64-inch TV. Oh, yeah. Sister, I'm going to get another one, too. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. He is so good. But God foresaw everything, right? Come on, He knows everything about you. Do you realize how much deeper He could have went when He said that He knows every hair on your head? He knows every cell in your body. He knows exactly to the thousandths or ten thousandths of an ounce how much blood you've got blowing through you. God is so good. I'm going to say that I have no idea how we ended up where we are right now, but it's okay. You know, I wanted to talk about the body today. You know, in order for us to accomplish whatever it is that God wants us to accomplish, and let me just make this very clear. We trust Dad, right? We trust Dad, right? So part of this accomplishment is, and I know your hearts, because we've got some of the purest, most beautiful people in this place. Mature. With that being said, well, we got to get there so that they'll start coming in. Okay. We're not about attendance here, right? We're not about numbers. With that being said, every one of you wants to bring as many as we possibly can into the kingdom, right? You and I were put on this earth to bring one soul, if not more. But to really be able to say that it was Him, but the thing that destroys me is how many people I see go up to the altars, not this one, but in my past life. You know, we were talking about this at the leadership meeting yesterday. You know, I heard, well, this is the generation. And there's truth in that. But do you want me to tell you how many generations I've seen just go off the side or fall off the cliff? And was it because of the method? Was it because we lack Bible school? Was it because we lack Sunday school? Was it because we lack this? No, I honestly think it's because we lacked real people that had a relationship with God. No matter how good your theology is, your doctrine, your denomination, at the end of the day, was it about the pure religion having a relationship with your Creator? That's why so many young adults, so many youth, so many children don't desire the things of God. Because quite honestly, whether it was mommy, daddy, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, cousin, nephew, niece, whoever, we've been all screwing it up. Again, Jesus talked about a remnant, guys. It is not a very large group. There will be people in paradise because of His love, not because of the way we've served Him. So God just, He desires so much for this body. Christ's power may rest on me. Let's continue. 2 Corinthians 12. 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness. I delight in the fact that I don't know everything. You know, God, with this particular, where my wife and I are here, we can relate to this right now. God, I believe that God has given my wife and I some wisdom regarding some things. And it'll be wisdom that will help people as a shepherd, as a soldier, as a minister, as a brother in Christ. It is my desire to give you the goods. Anything I have to offer, everything that I know, I want to bless you with that. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to throw it to the dogs, but I want to bless you with that. That should be the heart of all of us, right? I've got nothing to hide. I have nothing that I don't want to share if it will draw you closer to Him. But it's Him. I delight in weakness and insults, in hardships. It's even hard. It's hard when the insult is not so much an insult. This goes back to the weakness sometimes when we're dealing with people. The insult sometimes is the fact that they don't do anything. Don't condemn them. Don't be critical with them. You know, the whole point of condemning and judging one another, yes, I've said this before, God has given you the eyes to see. He doesn't want you to pick from a poisonous tree. He doesn't want you consorting with a wicked individual. He doesn't want you joining yourself while we're an example and we have been called into the darkest places on earth. He's given you the ability, the discernment to know people. Not to tear them apart, but to be able to discern the fruit, right? Praise God. The whole point of judging and condemning is you and I so very often say, that rapist, that pervert will never make it to heaven. The point is we never say no to Daddy. Again, is my God not the God of impossible? Is His love not able to break through anything? Okay? You know, we don't know that person. We don't know what that person's been through. And again, we've talked about this before, but I'm just saying that regardless of what the insult may be, regardless of how wicked the person or the person you're trying to help and she's staring up at you and God says, son, I am in control. You love your wife? How much more do I love? In hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, we have it all in Him. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? How much stronger can we be? Brothers and sisters, I was going to go over some of the body things, you know, not to go into a healthcare seminar. This is an amazing thing. There's a lot of different machine parts, a lot of different machines, if you will, independent machines that are functioning and working in this body, and yet they so perfectly work together. This body is so harmonious. It's amazing how the body recreates a new lining in the stomach every few days so that it doesn't actually consume itself. The fact that we're made up of trillions and trillions, depending on the size, depending on the makeup of the individual, of different types of body cells, you know, blood cells and white cells and all of that. The fact that I believe it would take a month for you to drink the amount of liquid that your heart pumps in 1 hour every day. Is that amazing? What's even more amazing when the body of Christ comes together unified harmoniously for His will? And that is what's so important for us. And while we're only an extension, we're only a part of the body. There are other remnants out there. There's a church. Amen? There's a church, a living organism that is capable of so very much. I just need to remove the me from the equation. Okay? The name is Yeshua, right? It's not about being perfect, right? We don't preach, we don't teach, we don't emulate, you need to be perfect. We are made perfect in Him. We're made perfect through Him. That's what right now, Roll Scott and every one of you, some of you are going through some even harder hardships. Let me say this to you. You know, my mom has reminded me of this a few times. If I had known that this was going to happen 2 years ago, how would have that affected me? Now, I think some of you know me well enough that I would continue to believe and trust, but it would have knocked me over. Some of us are walking into some bigger hardships. We're in the middle of a war. We're not doing anything right, but because we have chosen to stand for truth, which means, again, do we truly understand what the way, the truth, and the life is? No, not to its fullest, not even close. But because we have that desire, guess what? We're going to get attacked. You want to see your family set free with Yeshua? Guess what? You're going to get attacked. But He is in control. The same way, Job, all right, devil. And again, it's not the devil. The devil is probably sitting somewhere in Rome, and I won't even talk about that. But the point is there are covert operations. Our war is not against flesh and blood, although there's a lot of flesh out there that's ignorant because they're listening to something else. But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities and dominions. There is a dominion in this area that doesn't want to let go of this area. There's a dominion in the state of New York and upon a black cloud upon this country. It's been here for a very long time, since its inception, even when we won liberty and victory. We can do all things through Christ Jesus. Amen? I wrote down the Corinthians there. I want you guys to make sure that you read the chapter about the body. Amen? Please do that, because I believe that there are things on the horizon. We're not going to focus on, oh my God. You know, what does Paul say? He says we need to resist what? The devil. Okay, we need to flee. I'm not running away from him, but you know what I'm trying to say? Anything that's the appearance of anything that's not my dad, I need to just leave it there. But one thing that is not my dad and that is contrary to who he is, which I am not, is fear. What do I have to fear? So you want to lay something down at the altar? Or for that matter, just kick it? You lay down your fear. We need to resist that, and we need to walk, not in the vanity of this world, but in the victorious lifestyle that He has promised you and I. Whether I'm in a prison cell, whether I've got a job, I don't have a job, whether I'm looking for this or I'm looking for my mate, or my family doesn't love me, or this person doesn't understand me, that person doesn't. You know that people are not going to understand you, right? Don't look down on them for that, but don't expect them to understand. But with all of that being said, hallelujah, brothers and sisters, Daddy promised you and I life. We're in the midst of darkness, but we are full of His life. Amen? The shadow of death has got nothing on me because I am full of His life. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Not because of schedule, but the Lord has told me to shut it down. Stay in Him. Okay? If you choose to come up here, you choose to Let him talk to you as you're driving home or walking home. If you choose to set up a place for him at your dinner table and sit down with him for the rest of the afternoon, sit down with him on the couch. You know, while God has put every one of you ministers, royal priesthood, in someone's life to be a blessing and to pray with them and to show them Jehovah and Yeshua, I want to be used in whatever way I can to bless you, but he's the blesser. He's the blesser. He'll knock you out with his power if you let him. He uses men and women, but I'd rather see you get knocked out on your living room floor so you can have some home church going on there. Because wherever you are, the church exists. Amen? Amen. God bless you. I love you guys so very much. Hallelujah. Let's not allow ourselves to follow after the standards and bar of men. Let's follow the standard of God. Amen?